bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Justin Robert Young.
Hey.
Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hey, everybody, that's me.
So, gentlemen, I want to talk about, I want to talk to Bryce. Bryce, you are an explorer. You are an adventurer. You have ventured your toes into the water of a brand new entertainment experience.
Yes, that's right.
The vision of a new age.
The quick bite, the Quibi launched. Yeah, Quibi launched on Sunday, which seems like maybe one of the worst days you could have launched a service like this on. But okay.
Also, like, was there any announcement? Like, it seemed like it was a fairly quiet launch.
I think we all knew the date, but never put it together. I think we were distracted by other things. So Quibi is this new original streaming service made for phones, and so they have all these original shows that are. I think they're meant to be 5 to 10 minutes long broadly. You watch it on your phone and you pay $5 a month at least for the pleasure of doing so. I don't know. There are a lot of different types of shows. What should I start off with?
Well, start off with the part where you consciously decided I want to pay $5.
Can I give just a little more background too? Just to understand the size of this effort. Quibi is got $1 billion in backing, $1 billion in backing from the likes of Disney, NBC Universal, Sony, Warner, Liberty Global, Viacom, Alibaba. Mm-hmm. It's headed by the founder is Jeffrey Katzenberg, the K in DreamWorks SKG, and also Meg Whitman, CEO, Meg Whitman, who was, you know, there for the large growth period of eBay. These are giants. One is an industry giant in the tech world, and Katzenberg, who's an innovator in the entertainment space. So it's not just like some out of nowhere thing and $1 billion financing for an entertainment company, a new model. This is big.
Well,
it's
a very big deal.
They are paying for stars. There is star power on here. They have acquired the and brought back certain beloved franchises. They are trying to produce the kind of content that would get people onto a subscription platform. Of course, as Bryce alluded to, this was theoretically a platform for people on the go, commutes, waiting in certain places. There's not as much of that now, obviously, as we are in a quarantine world. No way for them to, of course, know that when they set this in motion, because, Brian, how long ago do you estimate the first time you heard the term Quibi in terms of them making something on cord killers?
It was over a year ago. We've been covering this story on cord killers. And keep in mind, for longtime listeners, I believe our take right at the beginning was that it smelled an awful lot like Vessel. Vessel was wanting to set itself up as an alternative to YouTube by artificially paying off all of the top YouTube creators to delay their posts a week. And so please,
I think in
this
most cases it was 2 weeks. I think our 1 week was
a lucky thing. Wow.
Was a weird thing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe it was 3 days. It was either 3 days or 2 weeks. We were like at a weird anomaly in that thing.
Well, I know that at some point they wanted us to stop giving away free stuff on Fridays in real time. And they wanted us to have that be on Vessel and then wait a week and then have it be on YouTube, which means it would be quite literally that Mr. Show sketch, the pre-taped call-in show, where every time we published a new giveaway, it would have already been over week after week after week.
Did we do that? We figured out something, we had
a bit of a fussing back and forth over whether or not. But again, ultimately, that was the problem with Vessel, is they couldn't artificially force everybody to delay stuff because there's news and commentary shows and people are doing things that are of the moment. Yeah. And
so Quibi is like all originals, even like the news programming. Like this is a separate beat. Like there's a BBC program that is produced for Vessel. Polygon's doing a video game one for Vessel. So it's not like they're
Quibi.
No, Quibi.
Look, I wouldn't mistake you. I wouldn't blame you for mistaking the two.
Yeah.
Also,
well, I understand you, but I would never make that comparison because to me, Vessel was like, hey, it's YouTube. Now pay for it. You know, and it's like, it's like, Vessel, this is Netflix and this is this, but shorter.
Vessel is similar in that, first of all, it was, I believe, probably the second biggest called shot. I think they got financed to over $150 million. It's not quite the $1 billion that we're seeing from Quibi, which just tells me that I suspect Quibi will take longer to crumble. Which, spoiler alert, Bryce, what are your initial impressions with Quibi?
So I signed up for the free 90-day trial because I'm not on the right T-Mobile plan to get Quibi for free. Let's talk about the shows, I guess. Here we can look at some of the shows here. Like, okay, so Survive is their big one. It's got Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones and that so-so X-Men movie. You know, this it's like a big narrative drama about a young woman who's about to be released from a, I don't know if you would call it like, it's not a halfway house, but like a rehabilitation house for young adults who have like anorexia and suicidal tendencies, depression, you know, that feels like a drama. That feels like the story thing that they're trying to do, but to do it in a 6-minute thing, you only really get like, you know, the first act of an episode of like, if you were to, if this was on a Netflix that you only, the first episode is just, hey, here's all the setup for 6 minutes and then go and watch the next thing. I think the formatting really feels weird for, a dramatic story show like that.
So it's not a case where Netflix style, they release an entire season of a Quibi show all at once. They're doing week after week.
Oh. Some of them are weekly. And a lot of them have multiple episodes out. So like I watched two episodes of Chrissy's Court, Chrissy Teigen's a courtroom show. And it seems like there are a few episodes of that already. And that one's weird. Okay, so like, I don't know much about Chrissy Teigen. Do you guys know anything about Chrissy Teigen?
I know that Chrissy, Chrissy Teigen is a model, married to John Legend, and she has a very feisty Twitter account. But I would take a wild guess and say that she's probably more on the lifestyle influencer. A world for a demographic that is not represented on this program.
Yeah. Well, and so she does, it is a Judge Judy style, like arbitration court situation, but it's also, you know, 7 minutes long. And so it tries to be like, it knows it's goofy. It knows that there's no reason for her to be a judge or to be doing this. And so the cases are pretty goofy and she handles them very goofy, and you kind of can't tell whether it's trying to be a goofy show where it's like, hey, we're all like kind of like Nailed It on Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. we're all friends here, we're all really, we just gotta, someone just needs to say what's going on, and like a real arbitration show where like this is a case that needs kind of, someone needs to solve this. You know, the first episode is about like a young guy who goes to a restaurant and there's a singer there, and he's singing Sinatra songs, and the young guy asks, hey, do you know a rap song? Can I request that you do a rap song? The old man like jumps back, hits his speaker, and it knocks over, and so he's suing the young guy for $1,000 to fix the speaker. And so,
spoiler alert, they both got the $1,000. That's how these shows work.
Right. And so like John Legend comes out and the speaker is there and like it works. Like they are both singing songs in this 6-minute thing. And then it ends with Chrissy Teigen say, yeah, you're responsible. You have to pay him $1,000, but I'm going to pay it for you. Like very abruptly saying like, but I'm going to pay it for it. Cause obviously it's like you bumped into your own thing. So I don't know what it's, I have a very hard time trying to wrap my mind over what that's trying to be. Would you watch Chrissy's Court?
How do you inject real stakes into something that short? Like enough to justify that level of production expenditure?
Well, but like think about Judge Judy, right? Like you got a 22-minute show there. Each case would be about 11 minutes anyway. So you kind of just have to you rush through something that would already be rather short. But then like with that speaker case, you could definitely tell that they were just, I mean, John Legend comes out, he's got a celebrity cameo, you know, in this program. So it's, it's a mixture of like,
do you believe there's even a nugget of truth to this whole case, or was this written, was this conceived of, written up in a writer's room and extras hired to portray this ridiculous quote-unquote lawsuit, which, by the way, how would they even find out about this lawsuit? It's not like they're trolling through actual California court records in order to find this stuff.
Right. I don't know. So, I watched the second episode, and it's about it's about this man and woman who are... He would not say that they're in a relationship. He called it a situationship, which is a whole explanation in the show.
It's already been trademarked.
Red flag, ladies. Red flag.
And so he's like, hey, well, you know, I sold her the title to one of my two cars, and she's behind on the payments on it. And so I want her to pay, you know, the $4,000, whatever she owes me for the payments on this car. And like half of that episode is like, what is your relationship? Are you in a marriage? Are you actually together? She thinks you would be boyfriend and girlfriend, but you think you're in this situationship. And oh, isn't it funny that situationship is a weird word? And I asked you to describe it, and you said, oh yeah, because it's like a boat, because you focused on the ship part. Like, like very goofy stuff, but also the car is like, it's like a nice car. It's like a Bentley. Like, it does feel, it feels fake and phony.
So, situation-wise. Just on that side, is that, you know, a big part of the entertainment industry is people who casting for these shows. And what you do is you put out a thing on Craigslist, you put it down here everywhere, and you say, hey, do you have a legal dispute or somebody with somebody else that you'd want to take to TV? Because remember, both parties got to agree to go to TV, but it starts with at least one person who answers an ad or something saying, yeah, I've got an issue. And sure, early episodes like this, they're going to be overproduced. Everybody's going to be coached. But it will be often, it's a real thing, but it was settled a while ago or whatever, and you know, but
yeah,
I want this to succeed. I want a new form of entertainment. I've been fascinated by microtainment, this sort of thing, because I think that's a neat thing. I'm looking through the page of the shows here. There is nothing that has my interest. And then with the idea that they're 4 minutes or 7 minutes long makes me have even less of an interest.
Now, hold on, Andrew, you're missing the best part. There's no way for you to watch any of these free unless you sign up for a free trial and eventually pay month after month. Ah. So discoverability is non-existent. You don't have to worry about, oh, God.
we've talked about Quibi for a while, but one of the things that I think is just fascinating is if you see how much money, star power, effort. I mean, like, it's been a running joke amongst, you know, Andrew lives in L.A. We all have connections to the television industry on one way or another. But how much of a running gag somebody, you know, is getting a paycheck from Quibi because they were microwaving so much content over the last 2 years, much of which was finding its footing. But they're all kind of like trying to figure out this format before they even see what people are going to react to it, which is just a fascinating situation. But in comparison, it's like, will more people watch this Sophie Turner written, produced, shot drama? Or if she went on TikTok and tried to balance a broom on her on her chin, would that get more eyeballs? You know, there's just such a weird world we're in right now.
Like the Sophie Turner thing, I'm just now reading the description of it on the show, and that none of this concept about what the show is about is in the first episode. You don't even make it long enough to the idea that she gets on a plane, let alone like is in a wreck. So like, I think the format is just bad for most of this stuff. I think the best stuff has been kind of the daily essentials, like the things that they're going to be doing very regularly. Like BBC has a news program about international news for 6 minutes, and it's just right. You know, it is, it's not very long. The guy gets right into it. It's got segments, so you can, in the app, see what the news stories are and jump to whatever the chapter you want to be at. Like, I think that's a really good fit for it in a way that some of the scripted stuff isn't.
I mean, literally, that's a format that's been around forever. One of my favorite things when I used to live in New York, and I even listened to it for long after there, was 1010 Wins, which their slogan, the entire point of their station is, you give us 10 minutes, we give you the world. They do 10-minute things. That's all they do. It's just the same. It's the news stories as they evolve going forward, you know, section by section. But it's like, this is a version of that. But if what we find, or what the Quibi finds, is the most trafficked stuff on their platform are news programs, I think they're going to be that's a problem.
I will vouch for the idea that, you know, we've seen successful channels that are nothing but like 15-minute summaries of popular audiobooks or what have you. And I think there's a place for your time is valuable. Let us maximize it. But number one, this is not the environment. This is where we want everything to take as long as possible so that we can lose ourselves in right. various forms of communication and entertainment. But number two, nobody watches Lost and says, man, if only that was 6 minutes long.
Can you break that up, please?
Yeah, right? I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's a detriment to some of these shows.
I keep in my head, it's like they made a big deal how they're going to spend over $1 billion on content, which I know we haven't seen. This isn't everything they bought or in development. We know there's a lot more. But you're like, this is what you launched with. This is what you launched with. And we're looking at going, meh. And you're like, oh, you got three episodes of each. You've got 20 minutes, 21 minutes or whatever of you get one episode of a thing divided into three. And we're supposed to go, oh, wow, look at this, guys.
Yeah.
And Disney was smart. And the bait and switch was, look, Mandalorian, come sign up for Disney Mandalorian. And they get into Mandalorian, like, great, what's next? They're like, oh, yeah, no, that other stuff, it's like almost a year away.
Well, but also, you know, like once you're there for Mandalorian, they have a legitimate claim where it's just like, what are you going to do? Tell your kids you're taking away Disney Plus? A good luck with that.
Oh, I think if you're a family, that's one thing. But, like, for the many Americans who aren't or don't have children at that age, you're like, oh, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. Let me know when Mandalorian's back.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I have Disney Plus is because my mom wants it, and so I'm paying for it for her. There's nothing on it for me I would ever watch.
By the way, light drama here. We've never discussed this, and it's totally fine if that's the case, but are we on the same HBO account? Because I've noticed a lot of shows that are midway through when I go to watch them. Yes, okay, we're still that's on. Fine. Okay. We're done. All right, good. Drama done. I just wanted to scratch that itch because I was almost certain.
I jumped back on it a couple months ago.
How come every Larry Sanders I go to watch is already finished? What's going on?
Well, you watched Larry Sanders before me. You already.
I know.
You know, one of the other things, like the short form format just doesn't work for some of these shows. They have a game show called Game Show, G-A-Y-M-E.
Why is that spelled like that, Price?
Because it's about gay culture, but the two contestants that they have on are two straight guys, and so they make.
I'm not following.
Do they do a test for this, by the way?
Well, so it's a lot of like UCB guys. Like, it's a lot of guys I've listened to on podcasts being on this thing, and this show doesn't work. Like, in 6 minutes, this show doesn't work. Like, they are trying to fit in three rounds of this game with these two contestants, which are like, here's, and it's like, even okay, let's say we took it to its base level, which is like, this is just they're trying to do a gay version of Whose Line Is It Anyway, right? More or less,
but with straight people,
with straight contestants, right? But let's say you took Whose Line Is It Anyway, right? Would Whose Line Is It Anyway be any funny in 6 minutes if you tried to fit in three different bits?
Well,
six minutes, Louise.
The way that works is you shoot for 2 hours and then you throw away 80% of it, mm-hmm. and you figure out the best like 18 minutes, and then those are three episodes. Like, right. like in other words, the formula for success, if you type in "Whose Line Is It Anyway" on YouTube, you will find three good clips where they took the best 6 minutes out of everything.
Right. And so this doesn't work. Like, there's a lot of production value, and I know that, you know, they're doing a obviously hugely campy bit, and none of it works. I have no interest in seeing which UCB guy is the queen of the straights, end quote.
Ah, look at that. All right, Bryce. Obviously, with any kind of platform, when you're rolling out a lot of content, it's not all going to work. So I'm going to need you as our Queeby expert to forecast for us what you believe the first Queeby show to be canceled will be.
Oh, the first one to be canceled?
Oh, I don't think they'll ever cancel any of them. I think the network itself will die before any one show is announced
runs of stuff. And it may be... I don't think they're going to announce cancellations or anything.
But they will. I mean, even with Netflix, we make a big deal of when something doesn't get renewed.
That's where you get the announcement.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's think about this. Like, everything that we know so far has been done. They've done orders of this number of episodes or this whatever. Mm-hmm. So theory is we've never heard about a pickup. We'll hear about such and such got a pickup for another thing. But for things they own outright or whatever, it's not the same sort of thing, because it's not like they're competing with other companies for these deals to do this show, and once you get a cancellation you go take it elsewhere, and maybe in some cases. So
sure,
I mean, there will be things that don't get renewed, but I don't know if it's going to work like the way we're used to working elsewhere.
I think it's going to be the big expensive story dramas. Like, I don't know what Most Dangerous Game is. I did not have an extra 6 minutes to watch this morning.
I think that's a thing where they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna do 10 episodes and it's done, you know, or right. whatever, and then it's done.
So it is kind of hard to answer that. On the flip side, like, I think Punk'd is gonna be really good. I think Punk'd, the two that I saw, I think it's just right. Like, we've got Meg Thee Stallion, and we told her that her dog escaped, and oh no, she thinks there's a gorilla out there, and she thinks that gorilla is gonna steal her dog. And
I mean, that is probably a format that could be very easily reduced to 6 minutes. Meet the celebrity, meet the prank. The prank is executed. The celebrity freaks out. That's your big crescendo, and then they realize that, oh, this is a prank. You get the you,
and that's what the original show would have been.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was like 3 6-minute segments.
Right.
Yeah. You know what would be interesting is a stated format that begins with a previously on that's not that alludes to things that are not available anywhere. Like, imagine a 6-minute bit where it just begins with previously on, and it looks like these are all snippets from things that happened before, but there's no the hyperlinks don't work. There's no previous episodes to which these go. But then within 45 seconds you're all caught up, and then you get that 6-minute experience, and then you're out.
You know, we've talked on Cord Killers before of different companies doing, like, you know, shows that you can watch out of order. You can watch in any order, and they have special apps to do that. I don't know. I think the big budget stuff just doesn't feel right. And I don't think if I'm watching a thing, if I watch a thing, I want to have, you know, a full circle by the end of it. And that's why I think the Punk'd stuff or the daily news things, I think at least those deliver on what is not really much different than was already on TV. I don't know. I got a 90-day trial. Oh, the other show that I think is fine and kind of interesting is Thanks a Million. So this is like a big celebrity charity show. So like the first episode has got Jennifer Lopez. And so the idea is, the celebrities take $100,000 in cash, and they go to someone who has touched their life, or they want to, you know, give this windfall to. And they say, "Here's $100,000. You get to keep half of it, and you have to give the other half to somebody else." And so you follow that person as they go to give the $50,000 to someone else, and they say, "Hey, you get to keep half of this and you have to go give the other half to someone else. And so there's this, it's like a, it ends up being.
So in other words, every episode ends with somebody being told your $2.50 is yours, but you have to give the other half to.
The first episode is very weird because when the last guy, cause so it ends up at the $50,000 where they split it up, the $25,000 gives it to the other $25,000. And the first episode is very weird because he goes and gives it to a woman who seems pretty well off, and she's like, thank you for $25,000. I own a horse ranch in California, so
oh geez,
I think I'm okay. But feel goody stuff, like little, like I think it's a goofy premise, but it fits in this. We're not spending a lot of time in like doing like extreme home makeover. We're just like, here's the feel good, here's the feel good, here's the feel good. There was Jennifer Lopez, and I think those types of things where they try to where they try to fit within the box, at least seem to be better fits. I think those are the things that are the most successful, at least.
Yeah, I'm curious to see whether or not we're going to see that the traditional scripted stuff or adapting television formats are going to rise to the top of this platform. Or you had mentioned, I don't know if it was before we started recording, but there's one channel that's just cute animals.
Yeah.
Like, that's just what it is. She has a bunch of cute animals doing cute animal things. And that's very internet content, right? That is not a television, necessarily a super television-y premise. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see if that does well.
And that's by the Dodo, which is one of these, you know, content farms like Viral Hog or Lad Bible or whatever. And I think a Queeby is a stated goal of one of these things, right? Someone pays us money to every day put out three minutes of something, and we've got all this thing, so we will just reformat it to this, and now there's a very direct monetization thing. Because I've seen, you know, I'm sure everyone has seen like a Dodo video on Twitter or on Facebook or something, and it's cute, but what do you do if you just own a bunch of America's Funniest Home Videos? Well, you turn it into a thing.
And
this is the thing.
Yeah. No, I I'm thinking about, you know, the Atmosphere stuff that you see at the bars, the Chive content, mm-hmm. where they've acquired the licenses to all this stuff. But the problem is, like, why would any of that be better? Like, yes, it's better for each individual vignette to be carved into 5 to 20 seconds a piece, but that stuff is meant to be waterfall television that's just constantly on in the background. Why would you adopt the tropes of appointment viewing television so that you could watch a limited 6 minutes of mm-hmm. the Chive waterfall television? I don't know why you would do that.
I think the idea...
And also, all these platforms likely have, I mean, maybe not the Dodo specifically, but there is a Dodo-esque product on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, like all of these free platforms. They're still building up these gigantic audiences, and just on Queeby, they're getting paid for it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can follow a show, and so if this is one of the daily shows, so every day you hear, so you're, oh hey, here's the new Dodo thing, and it becomes partly a monetary thing and partly like a brand thing. You know, if Lad, you look at how big Lad Bible or like 9gag or any of these weird content mills are, how much name recognition they have created for just being America's Funniest Home Videos, but not even having the show, not even having the framing of a show.
And those are things like, yeah, they're using extremely cheap content and the margins are very slim, and sometimes those work or not. And I still trying to wrap my head around this, because I'm like looking at like, oh, here's kind of an interesting show about, you know, people renovating a drug cartel's mansion. That's neat. I'm like, oh, they're 3 episodes, they're 7 minutes long. Okay, I'm going to get invested in that, you know, like, yeah. I can't wait to watch this. Oh, wow. And that's like, and that was a little bit like frustrating. Like Apple TV was trying to play with that. Like, we'll put out a few episodes and then we'll do each other one each week. And I remember like I started watching For All Mankind. I'm like, oh, I got to last episode. I'm never going to watch the rest of this again. Thanks. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. So it's I think that stuff is super weird, because when you get the app and you really do get the feeling, like, oh, there is a lot of stuff on here, because there are lots of those shows that have three quote unquote episodes in it, but they're all, you know, short. I'll report back, you know, as time goes on. I have 90 days with this thing.
This is why you are the bravest among us. This is why you are the greatest generation.
Yeah. We salute you.
I'm hung up on this idea. I'm like, oh, let's look at this thing. I'm like, well, that just looks like a direct-to-video movie. You know, that just looks like their high-profile stuff is like, I would scroll past that on Netflix.
Yeah, right? It's like, oh, Sophie Turner's in a thriller. It's like, if people say it's good, right? Like, one of the Hemsworths is in with Christoph Waltz, and it's like, that seems like a movie I wouldn't care about unless a friend told me it was great. Like, it's just, man. Quibi has been, obviously, it's been this kind of, a punchline, right?
It has been a speculative punchline because that's one of those things where, I mean, we certainly have been punching for over a year now, but that is us staking our claim. Like, we will be the ones eating dog poop if it turns out to be the next big hot thing. But now it may be an actual punching bag. Where people who have consumed the product are now punching it.
It just seemed like such a flawed idea from the jump where it's like, oh, we're relaunching the Titanic, but this time we're going to put holes in the boat so it goes faster.
That was the problem with the Titanic. It took 3.5 hours to sink. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Like, there'll be no iceberg that can catch us because we're going to be so fast. That's our thing. We're going to just be zooming around with all these holes.
I want this to work so much. I want this to work so much. But I'm like, huh, I don't get this. I understand. Okay, I guess there's a rational here. And that's my frustration. Like, I don't understand. Like, granted, my idea of what you should do may not be the right idea what to do, but we're all going, okay.
Well, and I think fundamental, like, you know, there's with like Apple TV or Hulu or Netflix, right? The question is like, what do you do with these shows? When, how do you put them out? Do you do every week? Do you do, Netflix has been experimenting with like, here's, you get 3 episodes this week and then 3 next week and then the last 3 the third week, you know, for some of the reality shows. But with this, I think it's fine if you take a show and you break it up into small chunks. I think that totally makes sense. I only have a few minutes. I'm going to watch it on the go. Like, here we go. But then why would I wait a week for 7 minutes of this program? Because it's still a week, you know? But so I think just fundamentally
Bryce, you're thinking about it wrong. You're thinking week after week.
Okay.
If you wait around a month, you have almost a half-hour show.
You almost have 30 minutes.
Come on.
Come on. It's like, get with the now, Bryce.
Like, the scenario is like, it's never like they had to face the prospect of their girlfriend going off to college, a different one than you. You know, like, oh, come back in a week and we'll have the other episode. I don't know. A lot of TV out there. A lot of other stuff out there. I might be committed to some other shows by then.
Well, and that's the thing, is that it is fiercely committed to being mobile only, which is another part of it. And at least as of right now, there's no easy supported way for you to put it up on a large screen, right?
You can probably AirPlay it if you want. Or like
they could have come out with an Apple TV or a Roku app if they wanted, you know.
Yeah,
they didn't want to meet us that way.
Down on a TV for an hour, I'd end up watching their whole catalog because that's when it falls apart, right? Like,
but that would be good though, because then there would be something you would like and you'd be telling us, oh no, this show's really good. But if you're sitting there on your phone trying to find the 3 or 4 times a day where you can watch a thing and you're kind of going this. I think they have the problem. I think they should absolutely make a TV app. I think they will. I think they're going to go, we need to get people on here. And is it wrong to have people watch this on their TV? Like, yeah, it'll be short, but they'll go to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to be wrong. I don't want to, you know.
All right, then let me ask you this.
I want 6 months from now to be raving about it.
Here, I'm going to ask you this, since my canceled question just got pooped all over. Andrew, by the end of the year, do they have a television app? Do they have a Roku, Apple TV app by the end of the year?
Yes. I bet you they already have one that they could release. They want to see their mobile engagement right now.
In fact, to save face, I'm going to bet by the end of the year, they announce a radical new idea. We've bundled 6 to 7 Quibbies in a row to create what we call an hour-long show. It's amazing.
Big B.
That's right, Big B. Sometimes so people want big bites.
The big tell is going to be when people reach that 90-day limit of the free trial, how many people are downloading the app right now? That's the first big thing. What has been, and they've spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on this. How many people are getting it? Last I checked, they were like number 2 in entertainment or something, which probably means TikTok or whatever's number 1. 2, how many people are saying, oh yeah, I'm going to pay for this. And that's going to make them, they're going to have a lot of discussions about what's next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it looks like they're number 3 in all the free apps on the iOS store right now. Quibi is right after Zoom and TikTok.
Yeah, right now in entertainment, the top 5 are TikTok, Quibi, Disney Plus, Netflix, and Hulu.
So, wow, I have not looked at the app charts today. World's changed, huh? I think it would be great if I could watch the Sophie Turner show in a television-like format, because that's how I like to watch stuff. And I think just trying to take that existing thing and fit it into the new format isn't what I need. Is stuff that takes advantage of the format, that says this is a new way to watch a thing. Here's a new thing to watch, and that's why it's better to watch it this way. And then branch out to other traditional stuff that you would see in other places. Because I think the format can work, and I think that there's a lot of room to explore there. But if we're just cutting up hour-long dramas into, you know, these things that you have to be watching 6 minutes for. I mean, how long, if you took Better Call Saul, a season of Better Call Saul, 10 episodes, and broke it up into 6 to 10 minute things, that would be, that would take you the whole
300 episodes of Better Call Saul.
It would take you the whole year just to come out once a week. So,
yeah. Well, I'm sure they're going to probably boot in batches. Now, I tell you, a thing that I think is interesting is, the thing that I was trying to figure out was, like, we tried webisodes in the 90s, and webisodes, granted, they were content that nobody could sell to a TV network, or it was just crappy content that was packaged for this. When webisodes were a thing that people kept trying, these 5 to 6 minute things, it is now a 25-year-old idea. Okay, fine, maybe there's a place for it. Things that take off, like TikTok, you look at TikTok and like, well, look at people making funny little short videos on Snapchat, or look at short YouTube videos. Like, we had this pattern before of like, oh yeah, if you have tools and editing and music, people love to make little fun things. It's easy to produce. We'll have this tremendous amount of content out there, and that works because people like this stuff. Here, I'm like, where, you know, like, man, like, I kept noticing my kids were, you know, taking episodes of Game of Thrones and editing them down to just 6 minutes each because they only wanted to consume that much.
Yeah. So it's a weird one. I don't
hey,
know.
Man. So my pick is Quibi. Get it while it's still here. it's like a mayfly or a dandelion. Well, here today, gone tomorrow. Quibi. Get it while the biting's quick.
I downloaded Quibi, and that's my pick. I literally downloaded it onto my phone. What? So I think it's a horrifying trend that it's not beating TikTok on the app charts right now. we will see. We will see in quick bites.
I see when I launch TikTok, you really only see ads when you boot it up. About half the time I see a Quibi ad. If that gives you any indication of who they're going for this.
Because they're like, hey kids, you like this free thing. Yeah. What if you paid for it?
Yeah.
And don't worry, your money will go to good use. We'll be buying more ads on this free platform to drive you to the thing that you pay for.
My pick is The Spot. It's a show about a bunch of kind of attractive people living in a Southern California beach house in Santa Monica, with some kind of interesting sort of storyline, sort of like Melrose Place in a bit, if you remember that. And so each episode is, you know, not too long, it's consumable, and you have to hop into a time machine to go back to 1995 when this show first aired on the web.
Oh my God.
Look up the spot.com was what it was originally called. Okay. 25 years ago. That was I looked up webisode to see the first time that was used.
No, you were so bad.
Oh shoot. I've seen this house in Santa Monica. If you go to the spot.com, you can see the, all right. I'm sorry, my flash is out of
date. Right, now we're all just dancing on the grave of Quimmy.
An episodic website.
Oh my God.
Ooh, come on in. Ooh, I need flash.
It does require flash.
Oh,
wow.
No, the spot.
Hey, do you trust 2018 Cyber Oasis Corp? I don't. Powered by Verisprite.
Oasis misspelled.
Won't be giving that flash, I don't think.
All right.
No. But that's Oasis. It stands for OR system.
I like this was the metric. The site received over 100,000 hits a day.
Yep.
A tremendous response for its time. Because, you know, hits, that reliable metric.
Yeah. A million hits. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
We're just going to put 1,000 JPEG images on each page, by the way. Don't worry why. We're just going to do this.
Yeah.
So, I want this to be a one where like there are things like I remember like Wonder Woman is coming out. I'm like, oh really, Wonder Woman? How good? And I'm like, oh, it was really fun. It was a really good movie. And I'm like, I'm glad. I like to go look at past Andrew and be like, you dummy, this was good. Yeah. So I want that to be the case for QB. So it's my pick too. Forget the spot.
Quibi forever.
The good thing is if it's a huge hit, we'll go, remember how we all picked it, guys.
Exactly. We were here day one. We've been talking about Quibi for years.
So I like the fact we're recommending it. So show of hands, Bryce, you've already done. Who's actually going to download and watch stuff on here?
I'm going to hold off.
I've downloaded it. I don't think I will. I think here's what it will take. If I get a text from my good friend, Bryce Neshkamp Castillo, and he says, hey, no BS, I think that this is actually a good thing on Quibi, I will try it.
Hey, people trust us to give at least one real pick in our pick section. So, Bryce, real quick, what did you think of McMillions?
So, okay, if there are no cops listening right now, I got really high on Sunday and I watched McMillions, and I lost my mind watching this show. It is the most boring, nothing story going on, stretched out into 7-hour-long stories. Oh, we started the investigation, and we had opened the investigation. We had to look at who could all of the people be, and we did not eliminate anybody. We eliminated none of the people when we opened the investigation into the McDonald's Monopoly scam.
Now, the way the Monopoly game works is somebody would buy a fries. Dramatic reenactment of somebody buying fries.
Or see it in a magazine. Magazine.
Get some files for my files. Now, the thing about color-coding your files is you don't want two colors that close to each other, because let's say you have your receipts for your gas mileage, which is really important for an investigator, by the way, because you know we use cars to get from point A to point B. Many people don't think about that.
You want to know what's funny is that there are 7 episodes of that show and 7 episodes of Tiger King. And there is like in that run of the Tiger King show, you can pick out like 4 to 5 different movie premises, right? That are like unspooled in real time with actual video of the actual people. And a common complaint that I have heard multiple times about Tiger King is, about an episode too long. Like, that's something that's said about that show, which has the most insane story and the most insane visuals you will ever see. This is, and I have not seen it yet, but based on what your guys have described to me, this is a recreation of a very compelling magazine article.
It is if someone watched an episode of Boston Legal and spent 7 hours explaining it to you. Like, we called up McDonald's security, and they arrived at the airport, and I picked them up personally, and we got in my Tercel, and we did, and we just said hello, welcome to Florida. You know, we really didn't do any sort of small talk, and then we arrived at the building. We didn't say
anything. And what What was he wearing? It was a blue polo shirt.
It's just, you wonder sometimes why when they interview, like, you know, official agents and stuff in shows, that they're very, you know, they're very put up, they're put up and they're kind of very straightforward and they deliver the facts. And then you watch McMillions and you can tell that they are very happy that they have this agent who says cuss words, because they just let him talk about anything and it can be the most boring, the most boring thing. And as long as he says, you know, the S word or the F word, like that's all they needed. It's so bad.
Wait, hold on, wait. People are actually, Dan Wally here in the chat, would McMillions have been better on Queeby?
I think it would have been better shortened in any way.
Well, yeah. That story, the article that was based on it was fascinating because it was like an Atlantic piece. I remember reading it, like the day it came out, I'm like, oh my God, this would be great as a movie or whatever. And by the end of the day, the movie rights had been bought. And yeah, it turned out that the guy who wrote that had done that with several other stories that he flipped into movie deals and big deals, because he figured out, like, find these really great stories, do some deep reporting on it, and you know you're going to make a deal with it. But yeah, maybe this not this format.
I think, to Andrew's point, when I heard that it was going to be a feature film, I'm like, oh, this is great, because you're going to be able to heighten these characters. The story is compelling on how they did it and how would you rip it off. That's an interesting idea. But like when I heard it was 7 episodes for a documentary, I'm like, man, I kind of feel like I was satiated by that one little the magazine thing. That was like, it wasn't exactly War and Peace, right? Like,
yeah, has literally 45 minutes. You can literally sum it up in a sentence to say, this is who did it, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
This, you know, dude, yeah, gave him to his friends, end of tweet. Yeah. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to see, because HBO produces, if they've ever done a documentary series before versus like a feature length documentary, because
they have, but this is
a very huge missed call to have stretched this out to be this, or to be even this, even if it was 2 or 3 parts or something. Even the Gary Shandling thing was multiple parts, but it
was but that was great, because it featured so much raw, never before released, authentic behind the scenes footage that they happen to have. That was electric from beginning to end.
It's almost like HBO like went through sort of a content problem, because they had like some huge thing that all of a sudden had an audience drop off, and another huge thing that was supposed to cover for that never built an audience. And then this other thing that was going to do that kind of fizzled. And you may have been telling people like, stretch.
Yeah, maybe. But
I mean, the good news is the way to fix that is to suddenly devalue your brand massively by expanding into having
Brian,
NBC's reruns of Friends.
Who would do that? How? Why would they do it? Where would the act be happening?
Wrap it up.
And when?
So I'm going to give a real quick pick. If I say what's one of the longest running science fiction franchises, what comes to mind?
Doctor Who?
Twilight Zone.
Okay. What's that?
Twilight Zone.
Okay. Star Trek?
Sure. Right? Sure.
Sure, sure.
You know, a thing that doesn't get as much love that I think should is Stargate.
Oh, sure.
You know, Stargate has had, there have been 4, not including the weird web stuff, there have been 4 Stargate series. Okay. The original Stargate series, based on the movie, had 10 seasons. 10 seasons for that, which is incredible. That's like longer than any other Star Trek show was able to get. And then it had, they did Stargate Atlantis, which did like 4 seasons, and Universe did 2. And they had this weird Stargate Infinity cartoon, which I think, I don't think went very far. But like, so those are on Atlantis, Universe, and Stargate are on Amazon Prime. And if you're looking for something to sort of dig into, check it out. You know, it is, I think it's a neat franchise. It's just a wonderful premise of, let's explore the universe in, but people from modern day times doing this. So
cool. Nice.
Yeah. It's a show that I always thought was cute and sort of, it knew what it was. It knew what it was. So enjoyable. Dude. So, gentlemen, it's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.